For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Right there, Bo. All right. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show. Andy and Randy with you here. Hour number two. A lot of football coming up. NFL No Huddle just a couple minutes away. ESPN's trying to predict. You know how they do like last year's top 100? Yes. They're trying to predict next year's top 100. I mean, there's a lot of disrespect going on over there from the Falcons perspective. Hold on. All right.
Put it on the bulletin board.
Yeah, we're putting this up on the bulletin board.
Put it on the bulletin board.
In 20 minutes from right now. Get your bulletin boards ready.
Yeah, man.
And then we'll get to the back page with Bo coming up at 12:40.
Hey, Andy, I saw this question on the timeline. Would you rather have Monday off or Friday off?
Monday,
okay. I would rather have Monday off, too. I'm more of a, like, I'd rather have it on the front end than on the back end of the week.
Oh, I see. I was going to say the back end of the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Historically, I thought you were more of a back end guy.
No. Oh, stop, punk. I was because I saw it, and the woman said she'd rather have Monday off than a Friday off.
Yeah.
Because I think I would get more done on a Monday off than a Friday off.
I think I would too. Yeah. I also think Friday is kind of fun anyway.
Right.
Like, even at work, everyone's like, it's Friday.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Everyone's kind of having a good time. So that already happens. Mondays are the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind them because usually there's a bunch of stuff that happens over the weekend and we have more to talk about, especially during football season. But, like, I don't know. I would love to have Mondays off during football season.
But no, I'm trying to – because what was that – what was that proposal that
– Sunday gets a little
What was that proposal
sometimes.
That Wendy had about the work week? It's just like
– Yeah, it was a four-day work week.
Four-day work week. It was Monday through Friday, right?
I think it was Tuesday
to
Friday.
Tuesday through Friday, every single day.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. And then you do like 4-10s or something like
something
that.
Something like that. Whatever that phrase was. I'm all for that.
I'm for it.
I'm all for that.
Very European.
Because the thing about Monday, especially now, because – like, I saw a lot of, like, men having these, giving out these contracts to their wives, like football season. Football season's about to start.
Yeah.
And so mine is, you know, she's part of that and everything like that. So we went out and I took my, like, what, remember last year I said, whatever y'all want to do, we're going to do. So whatever they want to do this weekend, I took them to do whatever they wanted to do. Now, the thing about the why I said that, because the Monday shakes are a lot different during football. Because, and it all determines for me when Georgia plays. Because if it's a night game, Georgia game, it's going to be a rough Sunday. So, and a rough
Then you got to wake it up.
Yes.
And then that turns into fun, and then Monday's a little shaky. So it'd be nice to have Monday off.
Yeah, so that's why I said it'd be nice to have Monday off during football season. And mine is always determined when Georgia, because Georgia plays at night, it's going to be rough. It's going to be, Sunday's going to be, but you got to wake it up to get yourself back in there. And then once it's woke, you don't put the beast back down till you go to sleep. You know, because you got to watch Sunday Night Football.
Right.
You can't put the beast away. And then you're here on Monday, shaking eyes red and everything.
I know, but
it's so great, though.
But that's kind of like some of the best, like, Randy. Yeah. We get some great Randy's on Monday.
Here, you know, you got to put on an extra layer of degree. You'd be sweating and everything. Dude, I was sweating so hard this morning. Because, like, it's what they have to do. But have to carry a person down the stairs, like my son, and getting ready for school. I was like, I don't admit, I miss these Mondays. Because these Mondays are a lot different than the previous Mondays.
Yeah. No, we're getting there. This is the final weekend this weekend where it's not both.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you have college on Sunday and on Monday, too.
Yes.
But the great slate of college football games on Saturday, but no NFL yet. NFL kickoff next Thursday. But then the weekend after that, you got Saturday. And there's some good games that Saturday, too. And then full slate of games on Sunday.
Yeah, man.
And you're off.
And it's so, yeah, all
whatever,
for running.
Whatever you need to do for that contract, whatever that is, those last minute whatevers you got to get done, get them done.
Get it done, man.
Because it's, yeah, football's right there.
Yeah, dog, and I can't wait. I'm excited. Georgia's game week is, I mean, a good game against Clemson, who I think is very good. I think their defense is like one of the better defenses in all of America, and it's going to keep them in the game. I don't know what Klepnik or whatever his name is. I don't know what I'm going to get from him.
Yeah.
Is he still like DJU? Well, you see, that's what he's always been.
I know. It may very well be.
Yeah.
And if that offensive line's what it's been, then yes.
Yeah.
He's going to be that.
Yeah.
He's running for his life and he can't do anything. You know what I mean? So they got good running back. I don't know what their receivers are because they're young.
It's Clemson. They always have them. But they're young.
They haven't. But
they're young.
They haven't for a couple years. They don't get transfers.
No.
So it's not like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like with Texas, it's like, man, they lost all those receivers. Oh, but they got Isaiah Bond
right.
from Alabama who caught that game-winning pass against Auburn. Oh, they got I always forget the guy's name. I need to look it up because this is the third time today that I've not known it. They got the kid from Oregon State who's fantastic, and
yes.
he's going to be one of their wide receivers down there in Texas. So, yeah, no, they just restock.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What they do. I don't know who Clemson's wide receivers are. We'll find out.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. But, yeah, so excited about this game. So excited about the dogs and everybody coming off of what we talked about already, a great freaking opening weekend college football
game. I'm also excited
game.
To watch the Huskies play Weber State.
Hell, yeah, baby. What time
you know what? Well, I'm glad we're playing Weber State.
What time's the game?
Who knows? But it's on Saturday at some point, so we'll find it.
You're going to watch it?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
Of course I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
But it's not like Georgia-Clemson. You know what I mean?
But it's Washington.
Like,
it is.
And I'm there for it.
It's about – it's the sea.
And I'll be there.
Oh.
I'll be there. Learn all the new names. It's going to be like one of those events, like orientation events,
mm-hmm.
where nobody knows anybody.
Right. Everybody got the name tag? Hello, I'm.
They should have their first name on the back of the jersey,
Hello,
too,
I'm.
Because 46 players are new. Coaching staff's new. Conference is new. It's good to start the season against a school like Weber State.
Okay. Well, go beat the hell out of Weber.
I don't want to play. We'll wait to play the rest of these guys in the Big Ten because we don't know who we are yet. I don't know who they are. Never heard of any of them.
And you'll figure it out by Weber State.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. You watch it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We know they got a good quarterback. They had a good quarterback.
Yeah, they got the kid from Will Rogers from Mississippi State.
Good quarterback.
We'll see. He was pretty good at Mississippi State for a few years. In an air raid offense, he's pretty good. We'll see how he looks.
What time is it, Bo? What is it?
11 p.m. Saturday.
Yeah. There we go, baby. We're
staying up late.
We're staying up late. Watch
Pace yourself.
Yeah.
Pace yourself.
We're staying up past midnight to watch Washington play Weber State. I'm doing it.
I mean, I say you're going to do it.
Oh, I'll be there. All right. Let's get to an NFL
game against Weber State. Huh?
It's Weber State, man. Like, they got all the other good Big Ten games are on earlier in the day. They got to wait till nighttime to get us on TV. We might be on the Big Ten Network. Who knows? All right. Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go!
NFL No Huddle every single day to lead the noon hour. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Matthew Judon, one of the newest members of the Atlanta Falcons, previously in New England. Here's Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated still, right? Monday morning quarterback.
I could tell.
Here he is talking about Judon and the end of his tenure in New England.
Judon was not as well liked by the coaches and front office people as you might have thought. Like, and that was really part of it at the end, was that they were just sick of him. They felt like there was the public facing Judon, and then there was Judon behind the scenes. And Judon behind the scenes had sort of become a little bit of an operator, and his act had worn thin with people inside the building. And it's something that was an issue in Baltimore, too, quite honestly. So it's not saying he's a bad guy, but there was some of this, again, like this sort of cheerleader stuff on social media that a lot of people in the organization would roll their eyes at. And then when he became a problem this summer, there was, all right, like, what do we do to move him off the roster now? Because we're trying to build a new program, and we don't want this hovering over
us.
Well,
I mean, you saw that in the exchange that he had with them. Y'all give me my damn money. You know, this is the first time. I mean, I didn't need to hear the New England thing because I saw that with my own two eyes when they were going at it. You know, with him and Mayo and them.
But that's a different thing than what he's trying to get at.
I know what he's trying to get at.
Well, what he's doing is the work of the New England front office.
Yes.
That's a public relations drop right there.
Yes.
From a reporter
who
later in this season is going to get a scoop from New England because he did them a solid by smearing the name of a player that they traded who was a really good player, one of the best players on their team.
Right.
That's what that is.
Yes,
it's the oldest trick in the book.
Exactly.
I don't remember hearing any of stuff like that in Baltimore.
Never. Never heard about him.
He's not been in Baltimore for 3 years
yeah,
now.
And so,
if somebody wanted to tell that story about him, they might have done it.
Yeah, man. But
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it. And I think it's whatever. This is just the way the journalism
media
is.
It's the way business is done.
It is.
Among NFL insiders.
It is. So whatever.
Yep.
You know, but yeah, you saw the thing, whatever, what happened on the sideline with him. He walked off and everything like that. And I know what it was. It was about money. He didn't want to leave New England. He wanted to be a contract in New England.
Yeah, he wanted more money.
They didn't want to give it to him.
Right.
And rightfully so, they're rebuilding. So why do we pay you? We just trade you.
Exactly.
And get a draft pick and everything like that. So, yeah, but whatever, man.
Yeah, but that's what you do when you move a great player like that for seemingly little before a season starts and you're not going to be very good.
Right.
You got to make it seem like you had to get him out of there because he was going to undermine the progress of the young quarterback or something like that. And then in October, what story is he going to break? What's he going to get? He might be – don't be surprised if Albert Breer breaks the story that Drake May is the starting quarterback in
probably
New England.
Yes.
When that story breaks later this week, don't be surprised if Albert Breer breaks
it. I love it.
Because that's how business is done. Here's Mike Tomlin talking about who his starter is going to be.
We'll make a decision at the end of our work week this upcoming week. We got 3 days of Steelers versus Steelers work, and why not do it then? It kind of, you know, minimizes the Steelers versus Steelers work when we start making decisions prior to the completion of that. We've got ample time to prepare for Atlanta and make whatever decisions or announcements regarding divisional labor or pecking orders and so forth. And so we'll do it at the end of the work week.
Does anybody make we have not decided who our quarterback is and we will at the end of the week sound cooler than Mike Tomlin?
Nope. Nope. Nobody does the non-answer cooler than Mike Tomlin.
It was just so cool.
Yep.
The division of labor.
It's awesome.
It's just awesome.
Steelers versus Steelers. Like, just sounds cool.
We're gonna work on ourselves. Steelers versus Steelers.
Yeah, we haven't made a decision.
Yeah, man.
Yet.
But I mean, I watched.
But they have.
I watched the first game. Russ played 5 snaps. Was really good,
he was
but
good.
He didn't do too much.
Didn't do much. Yeah.
Nice throw to George down. Nice throw to George Pickens.
Yep.
Justin, they scored when he was in. I didn't think he did anything spectacular, but
nothing
I thought he was solid.
Spectacular, nothing terrible.
Solid.
Yeah, Russ looked fine. Russ looked like a starter, and then Cordarrelle Patterson scored like a 40-yard touchdown,
yes,
and the drive was over.
And the drive was over. Like, all right, get him out of there. That's when, as soon as that happened, I was like, oh, that's why I heard my man Dio was talking about this morning. It's like, was it ever a quarterback competition? I don't know, because I do think when they signed Russ, they said that he was going to be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that they were hoping that when, not saying they wanted Russ to be hurt, but they were hoping that Justin Fields would just.
Yeah.
Sorry, Russ.
I think it briefly became a competition because Russell Wilson was banged up,
yes,
and wasn't playing particularly
right.
Well. Had Justin Fields played better, then it might have really become a competition.
Yeah.
But neither of them did anything.
Yeah.
So pecking order remained the same. And then Russell played pretty good. He had a full week of practice and played pretty good.
Yes.
And that's
what we're talking about. But you're still going to have to game plan for Justin. You don't game plan for backups unless they are guys that come in with – you know they're going to come in with certain – like, ain't nobody game plan for Michael Penning.
Because he's not going to play.
You know what I mean? Like, he's hurt.
Yeah.
Unless something happens to Kirk.
He's not going to play.
Yeah, he's not going to play.
No, but I've heard it suggested –
Justin Fields is going to play.
I've heard it suggested from you and others around the league over the last 48 hours that, they're going to have packages for Justin.
Yes. Yeah, and it's right. and it's not going to be just a running package.
Yeah,
because that's what you would think. Oh, change of pace. Oh, he's gonna. Oh, hell. Okay, they're bringing Justin Fields in. Okay, let's go a bigger personnel because they're gonna run the football.
Is that a good idea?
No.
Yeah, doesn't it seem like?
Yes, I hate it.
I don't know, man.
I hate it.
And then
I hate it. I hate it at any level. But more, I hate it in NFL.
I get it in college sometimes.
Maybe.
If like, there's been examples of it.
Like Jordan Stanton has a short yardage.
Yeah.
You know, quarterback.
Yeah. But like in the NFL, you got a starter. Just let him be the starter. And then you got to think about who the guy is that's making those decisions. Like, you're going to give Arthur Smith an opportunity to overthink stuff? Seriously. We're really familiar with this guy. Like, you're going to give him, like, that's almost an invitation to get cute.
Hmm?
He doesn't need an invitation to get cute.
He loves
do
it.
He loves it. We thought Tomlin was going to be the reason why he didn't do that anymore.
Because
Tomlin was like, hell no, don't run that.
Right.
If they're going to, like, mix Justin Fields in, I don't know, man. That seems like Arthur Smith's wet dream.
And
that seems like a bad idea.
And it could be one of the things where, you know, as an offense, most of the time, coordinators have their first 15 script. Right? Your first 15 plays. They have them scripted out.
Yeah.
And probably the third play is Justin Fields coming in.
Here he comes. And bring Russell on a jet sweep. No, Arthur. And then have your third tight end throw it to your second tight end and have your first tight end
block.
Y'all
are never going to let that go.
Well, that's one of the funniest parts. I don't know what the worst one was, but that one was pretty good. All right.
I would not let that one go.
Nah, why would you? Pretty funny. And then you play in week one against the two other quarterbacks that other people wanted you to sign. It's crazy. Sports is the best reality TV show in the world. We'll come back and talk a little bit more Falcons. There's some more NFL news we didn't get to as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here Monday afternoon. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. 20 minutes away from the back page with Bo. Get back into the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Awesome win on Saturday for Georgia Tech to start the college football season. Braves had a pretty good weekend as well. Didn't end great yesterday, but won the series. And then we'll get more into some other week one college football storylines. I know Kirby Smart meeting with the media in Athens right now, asked about a bunch of different stuff, including the status of running back Trevor Etienne and whether or not he will be facing a suspension for the game on Saturday. Still no comment.
He's not going to. He doesn't have to, really.
Well, because he's going to play. Because he'll play. But he don't want to talk
exactly,
about it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Which is fine. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, I saw some other stuff because it is NFL cutdown. Saw that Dejon Edwards just got released by the Steelers, but it seems like he's a candidate for for the practice squad and everything. And then the PUP list is coming out now. You just telling me Nick Chubb is going to go on it, so that means they have to miss the first four weeks.
The first 4 weeks.
I saw that in Miami. Bradley Chubb and those guys. They still haven't decided on Odell what's going to happen with him.
Yeah,
and I'm curious. Was Odell hurt coming in or?
And he's always recovering from something.
And so,
the way they talked about it all throughout training camp and preseason was really weird because Mike McDaniel would say, he's okay, but we're not going to use him in any of the preseason games. And they played a lot of other guys in preseason games. Their whole wide receiving corps is hurt right now.
Yeah.
I know Tyreek has like a hand thing. Mm-hmm. Waddle's dealing with something. Odell hasn't done anything yet. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's and they cut their last year's backup quarterback, White, to keep what's the kid's name? I forget. But Skylar Thompson, I think is his name. To keep him. So there's a third quarterback opening there as well, because every team's going to have three quarterbacks. So, there's, again, sitting here from a Falcons perspective, there's not a lot of that kind of stuff, which is nice. And unfortunate to have the injuries that they had in Miami, both in the joint practice and in the preseason game. Not to minimize it, but the guys that got hurt obviously weren't going to be huge factors in terms of the offense as far as Rondale Moore. And then the guys on defense, I don't know, maybe that led to getting Judon and Simmons. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But it was able to make it out of preseason relatively unscathed,
yes.
I would say.
Yes.
And then as far as the competitions at position groups and all that kind of stuff, it's pretty much all
pretty
settled.
Pretty much all so, settled. Corner, the second corner and everything.
The hay's pretty much in the barn as far as all that goes for the Falcons. Now, they got to make their cutdowns by tomorrow afternoon. Maybe there'll be a surprise in there. Maybe not, obviously, if it happens. We'll let you know. And then you got 2 weeks to get ready for the Steelers.
Yep.
And the Steelers are dealing with some of the biggest question marks of anybody in the NFL.
And the main position that you need.
Yeah.
Quarterback. Well, maybe, Bunk, it's probably for us. I don't think it's like that maybe in their building. I think that Russell's going to be the starting quarterback. I would be really, really shocked if Mike Tomlin comes out and says Justin Fields is the quarterback, starting quarterback against Atlanta.
I would be too. Consider that settled. Who's their receivers? I mean, I know George Pickens is really good.
Yeah, George Pickens.
Like, you got Van Jefferson.
Van's going to be there.
Familiarity. There's Arthur.
Familiarity.
Quez Watkins. Des Fitzpatrick. Deuce Watts. They got a bad receiving
group. Yeah, but that's and it's Pittsburgh, so you wouldn't. Pittsburgh's always got receivers. So, I mean, are they still in this Brandon Ayuk situation, trying to get him over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that's possible.
But I think the thing with it is San Francisco wants
and they got good. They got good tight ends.
San Francisco wants a receiver back.
Yeah, they want George Pickens.
Yeah, they want George Pickens back.
The Steelers don't want to trade George Pickens.
Yeah, I don't think the Steelers want to trade George Pickens, and so that's their situation. Like, that's another one. You talk about him. And then Trent ain't coming until he get his money.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Trent Williams ain't coming.
You can pay Trent Williams on Sunday morning, and he'll be at the game. Out.
Yeah.
And he'll block, and he'll do fine.
Trent ain't coming.
But yeah, no, there's no hold ins.
Yeah.
With Trent Williams.
Yeah. Trent ain't coming in until he get his money.
But again, we're still like, I know that it's all assumed that it's going to get dealt with. The same thing with CeeDee Lamb in Dallas.
That just seems like
same thing with Jamar Chase in Cincinnati. But like, it's supposed to have been done,
right?
Like, and everyone's like, "Well, it'll get done." It was like 2 weeks before games start.
I'm like that with CD. I think CD's is done. I just think the structure. I think the money is where it needs to be. I just think the structure is what it seems like.
You may very well be right. I heard Adam Schefter talking about it this morning. Like, they're quibbling over less than $1 million
now.
That's
what I'm saying.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, but like, the longer you quibble, the longer you go back and forth. The less time he's there, you know?
Yeah.
And again, I know he's been there and he's got a relationship with Dak and he's been phenomenal and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know. I never understand why this stuff takes the amount of time that it takes.
Especially when
you knew he was up for a contract, right?
I think Jerry likes this.
I agree 100%.
I think Jerry, obviously because it gives the Cowboys exposure.
I agree.
But I think, you know, Jerry is a billionaire for a reason.
Yep.
I would say this about billionaires. And very rarely do you get pushed over or get bossed around. Now, to his point, Zeke punked him.
Yeah, no, he has been.
Yeah.
They've gotten the better of him.
Dak punked him.
A couple times. And might do it again.
And might do it again with CD. Yeah. So that's how I feel like, that's one thing I know about Jerry. Jerry's going to sign his guy. Now, it's going to be like this.
You know what Jerry likes more than any of it, though? Is in these conversations when it comes up where it's like, you're debating $1 million difference. His favorite thing is the next thing that everybody says, which is, the Cowboys are worth $10 billion.
And the state of Texas has no taxes, no
every
income
time
tax.
Someone says the Cowboys are worth $10 billion, that's one more day Jerry Jones doesn't need a blue chew.
Yep.
Like, it just, he just feels it, you know? $10 billion. I just said it three times. That's actually, I should stop saying it.
Yeah, like, man.
Now that I know that.
You better watch out, Miss Jones. You better watch out, Miss Jones.
I feel like they have an understanding.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be Miss Jones that has to watch out. You know what I mean?
I mean, the love don't go nowhere, man. He still loves her.
Yes.
Yeah, the love don't go nowhere. You know, he's still, Jerry still got that pulse about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He ain't dead.
Red-blooded.
He ain't dead.
No.
But I think, and so that's usually, I'm trying to think if I can remember one that wasn't, but all great players for Dallas get paid.
Yep.
But it always seems like it's like this.
Not only that, but like, even like good players for Dallas get like something. Like, there's something about being really well liked in that organization.
They keep you around. They take care of you.
We were talking about it last week just briefly, but a guy that I grew up with and went to college with, Isaiah Standback, played football at Washington, drafted by the Cowboys, was in the organization for a couple years, special teams guy, whatever. Awesome dude, though. Does all the preseason games.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. He's like the DJ Shockley of the Cowboys.
Oh, really?
Like, he's around, does a lot of media stuff, and now he's on NFL Network.
Yeah, man.
That doesn't happen if you don't have a relationship with the Dallas Cowboys.
And you know, I think one of the bigger underlying stories or under talk stories about Dallas, Deron Bland's going to be out for a long time.
That's a really big deal.
He's going to be out for a long time. He's going to be out like 6 weeks.
An excellent player on their defense. He's going to and he's injured. And so, I mean, I don't know. Like, if they don't get this CeeDee Lamb thing taken care of, obviously, that's bad on defense. There's still some lingering Dak stuff. I don't know. I mean, it's not crazy to think the Cowboys just don't have a very good year.
And then you look at it, all the coaches are on the last year of the deal.
Yeah, no.
Like,
it's a powder keg.
Jerry is like, okay, I give all y'all all this stuff, and we still lose it. So you know what? Ain't giving y'all nothing. Jerry said, I ain't giving y'all nothing until y'all go out there and win me a damn Super Bowl.
Basically putting everybody in the organization on a contract year.
Yeah.
Is an interesting philosophy. Very,
especially when you like at the back end of Jerry.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
He's kind of on a contract year.
You know what I'm saying? You know? Like, yeah, so he put it to a point where he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Hell, I tell you what, y'all want it? We were being too soft around here, huh? You like the cushy planes and the hotel.
Pretty soon, there's going to be no hot water in the showers.
This beautiful facility that I've built for you guys down here.
Players get bumps, bruises.
You better get it done.
They're going to have that damn outboard motor in the cold tub.
I just think that's where Jerry is with it, though. When Jerry said he's all in, that's what he talked about. I'm all in on this year, and if y'all don't get it done, everybody's gone.
Yeah. Cool strategy.
Everybody's gone.
ESPN tried to predict their top 100 players for next year. They got a handful of Falcons on the list. Chris Lindstrom, they say, will be the 94th best player in the NFL. A.J. Terrell, Kirk Cousins at 87, Matthew Judon at 86, and then Bijan at 71. I feel like a couple things. First of all, it's them predicting it, so it doesn't really matter that much. But I think Bijan needs to be higher than that.
I agree.
Like, if Bijan's not higher than 71 after this next season, then something went wrong this year.
I agree.
But also, if neither Drake London nor Kyle Pitts
are not in the top 100,
one of them's got to be considered a top 100 player in the NFL after this season. Otherwise, the Falcons' offense is not as good as it could be this season.
Agree.
And then they had Jesse Bates at 67. I got no problem with any of the other guys. Like, all that stuff kind of fluctuates. But even Kirk probably needs to be higher than 87.
Kirk needs to be in the 60 somewhere, possibly. Yeah. Now, Kirk's in the 10s. The Falcons won Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of, and that probably means Kyle Pitts is in the top 30, and Drake London's in the top 50, and Bijan's up there as well. Those are all a little like, all right, if this happens, then this probably happens for the Falcons.
Right.
But yeah, no, if that's where these guys are at the end of the season, that's like maybe 10-7, and the offense didn't get off the ground.
Well, I mean, I won't say the offense didn't get off the ground. I would just say it's more, maybe this is a line where they've always been. Like, I don't watch the top 100 anymore like I used to, so I don't know where Kurt would be rated if coming off of a season where he wasn't injured. Would he be right there anyways?
I don't know. Like that?
I don't know.
I think if he would have kept up what he was doing last year, he would have been way higher.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Because he was outstanding before he got hurt.
The hope is, obviously, that he's able to do that. Like, if he can play like the player that he was playing like pre-week 8 last year when he got hurt, that would be incredible. That would be the best season of his life, right? And then he would be higher than that. But also, when a quarterback does that, other guys come along with him, too. And so, I don't know. Like, it does – the Kirk Cousins discourse has gotten interesting since the Judon and Simmons signings because the expectations for the team have gone up. And I think you and I had a very similar reaction the next day, and then we've kind of seen it nationally over the last week, which is the team maybe got so good that now – where the ceiling was is almost like, okay, can Kirk Cousins get him past this? Mm-hmm. Like, Kirk Cousins was the ceiling 2 weeks ago, and now it's almost like, all right, he's got to do some stuff he's never done before, which I'm not saying he cannot do, but
he hasn't done it. Right.
So,
and to simply say
that he's going to because he's here now or something like that, I think is a little bit disingenuous as far as analyzing
him. But the thing with the Buck is, like, it's not that. And he's not a young quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He has a lot of career to be judged on. You know what I mean? I know he's in a new team and all those. They're in this third team. I get all that. But he has a long, script of what he is in this league. And so I can't automatically, just because they got those two dudes, say I can elevate him more than what he's been so far in his career. Because it's not his second year. It is his first year here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And if you want to put it that way, fine. But as a quarterback, He has it. He has his track record of what he is, what he's accomplished. I always think that a quarterback gets too much credit and then gets too much of the blame.
Sure.
So in some of these situations, what happened in that game outside of what the quarterback did? And so I don't know that. I can't go back and remember everything about Kirk Cousins, his playoff career, but he better get this team in the damn playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no – I mean, I don't even
– Yeah, no.
I want to entertain that road.
Is, if he's healthy for 17 games, and this is not a playoff team. This is not a NFC South winning playoff team.
That may be the biggest disappointment in the league.
Yeah.
Like if that's what happens, and then not knowing what else is going to happen with other teams. But yeah, like if it's not injury related.
Yes.
And it's just, I kind of didn't come back off the Achilles, right? Kind of just didn't play that good. Like, well, damn. At least you got the answer waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Like, because if that happens, then you make that transition a lot faster. But, I expect them to play well, and I expect the team to be good.
And a lot of times, the reason I say that a lot is because of the division they play in, the NFC South. All right, I think Tampa's going to be okay. My thing is, can Baker do it again? That's always my thing when a guy like him
in the best shape of his life.
Yes, they told me. Yeah, when guys like Baker or like Geno Smith and those dudes go somewhere after being on multiple teams, find success, I want to see him do it again. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see, I got to see that with him.
Agreed. Carolina's going to suck.
Bryce Young, he looked okay.
Yeah.
He looked confident.
Okay. I think he is okay. I wonder about what else is around him. We'll come back. We'll get to the back page with Bo after this. Thanks for being with us here on a Monday afternoon. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
To more Andy and Randy.
Tell them get your bands up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here.
We're playing a lot of games. Well, no, not this one. A couple Sundays from now. This song right here.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
it's a big in stadium song.
Oh,
right,
big in stadium song.
Yeah, it's a big in stadium song.
No doubt. I heard one of the cool things about modern technology and the internet and all that is there's really talented people that do stuff and then post it online. Like, there's people that are just incredible musicians,
mm-hmm,
and they know how to work all these new like editing software and all that kind of stuff. I saw a guy on Instagram do a bunch of Metallica songs as like yacht rock songs.
Sweet.
So it was like Metallica lyrics and sort of the same melodies, but it sounded like, you know, like yacht rock,
right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sound like that.
I bet Orin and Rob,
very funny.
Orin and Rob Tribble would love that.
I think
they're
so.
The big yacht rock guys.
Yeah, like, you know, yacht rock in the right setting. I like it.
What's the setting for it?
You're on a yacht, doing a little coke. I mean, I've actually never done that, but I can imagine that's probably what the situation would be.
Okay, so
I just imagine when I hear some of that music. What's the quintessential yacht rock band?
Do they call it yacht rock because of it's played on yachts?
I think so. Yeah, you're like drinking white wine. It's like a nice Saturday afternoon. You got like you got Chicago going.
Yeah, like
it's just Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates.
Yes, Hall & Oates.
You got Hall & Oates going.
I've been on a yacht before.
Just mellow.
But that wasn't yacht rock that was playing.
Well, you could play any kind of music but I think yacht rock is...
It wasn't no white wine.
No. you're doing a different yacht thing.
Yeah, but it's a bunch of tequila shots.
Okay.
And twerking.
Yeah.
That's what I would tell my son.
What was the music?
That was back when we had Jeezy, but... Jeezy on the yacht.
See, now that sounds sounds like more fun.
Yeah, Jeezy on the yacht. Yeah, a long time ago. But yeah, Jeezy on the yacht. Now, I've been on one of the fancy yachts where they have the servers with the pate and stuff. You know, I don't eat cute, so I ain't had none of that. But yeah, it's just like
pate has got to be cute.
Yeah, I don't eat all that pate. That remind me of potted meat
or cat food.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I've been on a ferry boat.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
Those are so cool.
Yep.
Those are really
cool. We listened to a lot of yacht rock on
Did
those.
You really?
No.
But I'm curious. Is that why they call it yacht rock?
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the 80s and everyone's hair is all teased out.
Uh-huh.
Collars are popped and, you know, drugs.
Yeah. With a collar popped with a sweater around the neck.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the dock shoes, boat
shoes. It's like Wolf of Wall Street.
Something like that.
Like they were probably listening to Hall & Oates on that yacht.
He threw that whole lobster that guy.
Yeah. There was probably some drugs involved in that too.
Yeah. I mean, he told you what he did. The lewds.
Yeah. The morning routine scene. The morning
that
routine
so
scene
great.
Where he went through how to beat his hangover was outrageous.
The lewds. Man, I sniffed some. I'm like, damn.
Man, I just take a liquid IV and
how are you alive?
Eat a banana.
How are you alive? How is Jordan Belfort alive?
Luckily he stopped.
Yeah.
You know, people still go listen to his money advice.
I heard.
He gives like seminars.
I heard. Like, y'all know why he was in? Okay.
He's just cheating you out of your money like he was. Anyway.
I've always been curious about that.
Let's get to the back page with Bo.
Like, you know he was in jail.
Bringing you the stories that didn't make the cut anywhere else in the show. It's the back page with Bo Johnson on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back page with Bo every day at this time. Hello, Bo.
Well, if you couldn't find a way to peel yourself away from the Falcons' last preseason game on Friday, I don't blame you. It was a slobber knocker. But elsewhere in the world of sports, other things were happening, including this.
Any base hit'll do. First pitch. Fly ball, right center field. Series going back. He's at the track. He's at the wall. 40-40! Walk-off grand slam! No way! What a moment! History! sixth member of the 40-40 club, makes the most dramatic entry into the club you could imagine with a walk-off grand slam.
They never said his name, and you do live under a rock. Some people out there, they were talking about Shohei Ohtani, who becomes the sixth member of the 40-40 club by hitting a walk-off grand slam Friday night.
Unbelievable, man. I saw I didn't see the game, but I did see that highlight right there. It's like, this dude.
Yeah, it's almost – it feels like we're kind of numb to it, you know? Yeah. Just because, like
– Shohei Ohtani greatness.
Shohei Ohtani numbers. It's like, oh, I didn't realize he had 40 stolen bases.
I didn't
I'll be honest with you. That's crazy. I didn't know that he had done that.
I did not realize that.
I knew he was a guy who could steal a base, but I didn't know that he had 40 this season. So, I mean, there's still a whole month left. He could get 50-50.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I mean, how feasible do you think this is? You'd have to go on – like, 10 stolen bases should be pretty, you know, easy to attain.
Sure.
10 home runs in a month, all you got to do is go on a run. Man, I'd love to see it.
It'd be great.
50-50 in our lifetime?
It would be very cool.
Sign me up.
It's a little frustrating because last year we were kind of on this watch with Ronald, right? He goes 40-70, and it's like, what's he going to do? How high is he going to push it? And this year we're watching Shohei and Aaron Judge and those guys. It's a little bit frustrating to not be in the mix on that kind of stuff. But, that guy's, I mean, he's crazy.
A couple of the baseball shout-outs. 2022 Golden Spikes Award winner Dylan Cruz, LSU national champion, is being called up today by the Washington Nationals to face the New York Yankees. So congratulations to Dylan Cruz.
Nice. Good for him.
They call him up the day after the Nationals leave Atlanta. Like, what are y'all doing? Come on. And so I got off work last night and had a show here, 99 The Game, the Bo Johnson Experience. Got off work last night. You know, I can't get off work after talking on the radio and go home and go to sleep. So I started the Greg Maddux documentary, which is 2 hours long. I was thinking it was going to be an hour. So I watched about an hour and 20 minutes of it. Then I had to call it quits at about 1 a.m. Great piece of freaking filmmaking right there. This documentary is actually pretty good. The story about, you know, the bathroom and Chipper and the urinating and whatnot didn't make it yet.
Yeah.
But lots of great stories. There's a whole 15 minutes probably of just him and Bonds, because that was a huge rivalry back in the day. But if you find some time, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I've just seen the clips that a lot of people have posted on Twitter, and it's like listening to him talk about setting
guys up. Yeah.
And like the stories of like Leo Mazzoni trying to tell him to walk a guy, and he's like, no, give me two pitches, I can pop him up to third base. And he pops him up to third base. It's like mythological stuff that he used to do. I've only seen the clips, but definitely want to watch.
And apparently, that thing that we heard that Mark.
I wish I would have never told you that story.
Yeah, I'm not watching.
I wish I would have not told you that story. I ruined Greg Maddux for you.
You did. You really ruined him.
Because
I love that guy. I loved that dude.
I got it wrong. I was thinking of Greg Allman, who did that.
Okay. You know, that's what hippies do, and he was kind of
a weirdo. He was kind of out there. It wasn't Greg Maddux.
Except
the other hippies.
He was sensational. He's a sensational pitcher.
Yep.
There we go.
Who never did anything weird.
Nothing.
So on to the NFL. So the Chargers played the Cowboys in Dallas Friday night, or over the weekend. Maybe. Yeah, it was Friday. It was Friday when this happened. So I don't know what kind of hotels these guys are staying in. You would think that these big luxurious hotels, these team hotels that the Chargers are staying in Dallas, you wouldn't have 12 players get stuck on the elevator for 2 hours with Jerry Fouts, who is the wife of Hall of Famer Dan Fouts. So Coach Harbaugh.
2 hours?
2 hours.
Damn.
You know how you prove to be a leader among men?
Uh-huh.
You calm them down while being stuck in an elevator. So you're talking about 12 players plus Jerry Fouts. 13 people on an elevator for 2 hours. Here's Harbaugh on his quarterback.
I just missed it, being on that elevator, and it's like, wish I could have been there with those guys, you know?
Do you?
And, but Justin Herbert was, and the remarkable things that came out of it was, you know, to a guy, Tarheeb, a young rookie player, it's like, well, Justin Herbert's a leader. He was a rock, kept everybody calm. And Jerry Fouts told me the same thing, pulled me aside after they got out, and just how great Justin was, and everybody. I mean, everybody kept their poise, and you get in those situations, and it's a test of wills.
It's a test of wills. It's all about poise. Jim Harbaugh say earlier in that clip that he wishes he was there,
and I don't doubt it.
I don't doubt it
at all.
Now, how did they get them out? They have to go
crawl out the roof.
They had to crawl out the roof to get out.
They had to crawl out the
roof. The elevator technicians and Dallas Fire and Rescue could not get the elevator to move, so they did have to go get them from the roof. Yes.
12 NFL players in one elevator?
Yeah. No, see, this is what
sounds like a bad
idea. Let me tell you something. Whenever we get to hotels, it happens, and I was talking to my wife, and it always happens. When we all get to the hotel or whatever, your room key is right there, like on a table. You get it, you go to your room. There's not been one time that I've ever not been there in the first elevator. Because everybody rushes to the elevator.
Yeah, there's a wait limit.
Yeah, it's a wait limit.
It's clearly posted.
I was always one of the last people to get to my room because I would just wait.
I will gladly take the next elevator.
It never fails, Bo. The first time we get to any hotel I've been in, and I don't know how many road games I play, it never fails. The first elevator. It comes down and gets us to take us up the road.
See, usually they won't. If there's a weight limit, they usually won't leave.
No, it still goes. It still goes.
Because I actually see this quite often at Truist Park.
Yeah.
Fails.
Once it's quitting time, the same thing happens.
Right. Everybody tries to get out of there. Yeah. No, I will gladly wait for the next elevator.
Have you ever stuck on an elevator?
Hell no. I hope I can say that for the rest of my life. That is not something I want.
Would you rather be by yourself or with people?
By myself.
100%.
Yeah, probably by myself.
I don't want to be in there. It'd be the worst to be in there with somebody that's freaking out.
Yes.
Yep. Telling you their whole life story and why they have claustrophobia.
What percentage chance do you think there is that Jim Harbaugh had this elevator?
None.
No, there's a little bit.
None.
He wanted 5%. This to happen.
None.
Like, there's not a 0% chance. Not the way he talked about it. He talked about it like it was the best thing that's ever happened to his football team. Like, he wanted to show some of these guys what Justin Herbert was made of. I don't know. Like, there's a little chance that he talked to the elevator technician and was like, all right, pull the plug.
No.
That's some pretty good confidence in Justin Herbert then.
Stop these guys mid elevator.
No. What if he freaks out? What if it's Justin Herbert and they're freaking out?
Then he cuts him.
No.
I guess so. He wants to know who he's got at quarterback.
No.
Maybe he didn't do it on purpose, but nothing has made Jim Harbaugh happier in the preseason than those guys getting stuck on that elevator.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No.
So we didn't get to this one on Friday, but I feel that I have to play it. One, because it's funny. Two, because there has now been a Kalen DeBoer response.
All right, special teams, lost your kicker. Carter McLaughlin.
We didn't lose him. He's at Alabama. We know
I understand.
We know exactly where he's at. Like, you media people, it's all pretend. Like, no, Alabama stole our kicker.
They illegally
recruited our kicker and stole him from us. And like, that's a fact. But that's college. But we act like it's not. We live in this la la world. Like, hey, let's not talk. Goodness. I don't know why everybody knows what's going on. So, yeah, Alabama stole our kicker.
Damn.
A couple other schools tried to steal him, but.
All right, so that's Chuck Martin. He is the head coach of the University of Miami, Ohio. All right, so his kicker did hit the portal. I don't know what kind of illegal recruiting they had going on there.
But, I mean, he's probably right. I mean.
Yeah. He's so always right.
What would be the illegal part? Calling the kicker before he enters the portal?
Whatever. Whatever the protocols are, Alabama's like, we don't care about that. We want Miami of Ohio's kicker. We're going to tell him. Come play for us, and we'll give him a little NIL.
If that's the case, then Kalen DeBoer's fitting right in where Nick Saban left off. So here's Kalen DeBoer's rebuttal.
I don't know anything about that, I guess, that comment. Yeah, I mean, he entered the portal, and we reached out to him. So that's how it goes, right?
Yep.
So we did everything you're supposed to.
Yeah, perfect answer from Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah.
But of course they stole him.
Yeah, they stole him. Oh, yeah.
Of course they did. Yeah. I like the Miami of Ohio coach being honest about it. He's like, everybody wants to dance around this stuff.
They stole
like
our kicker.
It happens. They steal. Now, a lot of times it's guys that are with programs that can just go steal other guys, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Miami of Ohio is stealing players from, but, yeah, he didn't sound very happy about it.
Hey, look at Kenny McIntosh. Long touchdown run.
There you go.
There you go, Kenny. But, yeah, he stole him.
Yeah.
Did you – tell me,
you're saying stole by you think that he contacted him before he hit the portal.
I think he – flat out cheated.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe it.
I don't think anybody cares.
Can I get you? Did y'all see Puka Nakua's brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Samson Nakua.
106, baby. How cool is that?
That was very cool.
That was good. But did you see him?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you hear him?
Did you hear him?
Yeah.
Okay. I was making sure.
Were the Nakuas from the hills?
I was like.
I didn't know they had hillbillies.
I didn't know they had hillbillies, man. I swear to y'all. When I saw him, Andy, I was like. Oh, my God.
I hope he makes this team.
Oh, God.
It'll be Xavier Leggett.
There was no way you were going to tell me that was Puka Nakua's brother.
Yeah, they got hillbillies in Vegas, I guess. Because that's where they're from. Yeah, man. I didn't know he had a brother.
I didn't either. But then when I saw him, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, Samson Nakua. Go find the clip. First of all, find the clip because he damn near scored a touchdown.
Damn it, but the hustle by the big guy on the field goal
great
team.
Play
it should have been 109.
But yeah, go look at him.
Yeah, I saw it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trek pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.